Hey guys, Jim Cox, and I'm here today with an interview with Lisa Hawkins. We had been connected on Facebook actually for a while, and I had noticed some of her articles in terms of relationships and dating and so forth, and I reached out to her to talk about an issue, conscious dating. What does it mean to be spiritual in this day and age and try to date, try to meet people. So Lisa, thanks for taking the time to chat today.
Oh, it's a privilege. Thank you for inviting me.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your background?
Well, I've been studying human behavior and psychology for over 26 years. I've been trained as a coach since 2000. Trained in cognitive behavior therapy, relationship, conflict resolution, and emotional intelligence. So that's my background. And I started about 5 or 6 years ago honing my niche into dating and relationships.
So what do you see as, I mean, it's kind of like there's, my initial thought is there's pre-COVID dating and then there's COVID dating. So I imagine things have changed somewhat in the past year. Have you noticed anything in terms of that process of kind of dating, meeting people since COVID?
People still need to connect and they still want romance in their lives. And so they've adapted, which is that video dating, long distance relationships. And some have just taken chances. But in all reality, I don't believe there's a way to stop people from seeking romantic relationships. It's just an innate desire to have that in our lives. So it has changed. People are doing dating apps more, online dating. Zoom has just been flooded since COVID, and a lot of that is video dating. Hmm. So it has, but I think that the same issues still arise that did before.
Which
how do we date consciously? Hmm. How do we avoid getting into relationships that are not healthy for us and then ending up heartbroken?
And that's a good place to start. So, you know, I had been in a relationship with what I would consider a soulmate up until December for almost 8 years. Mm-hmm. And then just one day she up and left. And, you know, underneath it all, there were issues around PTSD and alcohol and so forth. And, you know, for me, looking back, the question is, should a person just avoid people with those kinds of issues? Because, I mean, I looked at it as we were together on this journey, right, for those mm-hmm. 8 years, and I got a lot out of it. I'm not regretting any of it at all. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end, can a person, can two people at different stages like that really succeed in terms of a relationship, or is it kind of doomed to failure?
It's one of those things that's unpredictable, but what I can say is paying attention to the red flags and noticing them, paying attention to whether the person's actually trying to make changes and shifting in the relationship. How serious does the person take the relationship? Is it enough for you guys to sit down and have the uncomfortable talks that it takes to work through the difficult times? And if you notice avoidance with the other person and there's no work on their part, then you're left with the decision. Do your own inner work, stay in your own lane. And when you start noticing your own shifts, watch and see what happens to your partner. Sometimes they get on board with growth, and other times the path starts parting ways. Mm-hmm. And in a conscious relationship, you have to respect that at times it's time to move on for your mm-hmm. own personal being, as well as the journey that you've committed yourself to spiritually. Mm.
So what I'm hearing is that in some ways you have to be much more aware in terms of yourself and your partner in order to ultimately have better boundaries. be more clear in terms of, you know, this is just too much and I'm not going to go down that road with you. Is that right?
Absolutely. Mm. It is. But meaning a conscious relationship is being aware of that anyway in your entire life. Like you're conscious with all your relationships, not just your romantic ones. Mm. And that's what being consciously awake is you're conscious of your part in the situation. You're not hiding behind situations. You're actually actively looking at them. Mm-hmm. And you're making plans to move forward. Mm-hmm. And so you would do that with your partner as well. And so what would you say your goals are with a long-term partner? And what are your deal breakers, your non-negotiables? And what are you willing to work on? And what is, I'm doing all the work. I can't hold this relationship up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a decision you have to make. When you start holding someone else up, it's too much to bear for most people.
Hmm. You know, it's interesting because as you're saying all that, you know, my first response is, boy, that's brutal. And like in some sense, you have to be brutal. But at the other sense, on the other side of that is it's brutal to ignore reality and to get sucked into, you know, a 10 or 20 year relationship where nobody's happy, you know, like which is more brutal is, I guess, your choice.
Well, would depend on what your definition of brutal is. Looking at reality can sometimes be painful.
Yeah.
But I find that looking at reality is more honest, genuine, authentic, loving, and self-care, really. And you have to love yourself.
Yeah.
You can't just love the other person. And so how would you define brutal? Because to me, being so stuck in a relationship that you just lose yourself entirely and you don't find any happiness in your life is far more brutal.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion based on my experience of 30 years of watching people in relationships. When you start losing yourself, then resentment starts building.
Yeah.
And it's not going to go upward. It's going to spiral downward.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And that point that you made of you have to know yourself and you have to work on yourself first before getting into a relationship even, I think is key and really something that's underestimated, I think, in today's society. It's like, you know, we're really not led down that path of self-exploration, whether by, you know, the school system or society itself. So how does one go through that process of self-exploration? Like, do you have any handy tips?
The first is to make a commitment to yourself. And I say, marry yourself first. Hmm. You have a lifelong partnership with yourself. And so how would you live a life of partnership with another person is what you would do with yourself. You're curious about yourself. What turned you on? What turned you off? What you find beautiful, what you find intolerable. Why do you do the things you do? Mm. What would you like about yourself to be if you were, you know, the person that you adored the most? How would that person respond, act? And so you just question yourself. You question your beliefs. You question your reactions. And that's what consciousness is. It's just you question your beliefs and thoughts and you pay attention to how you just reacted in a situation, even if that's the person in front of you in the car that you want to flip off. Hmm. You have the whole world for growth. It's not just your partner.
Yeah.
And anytime you feel annoyed with somebody, especially if it's to the point where you want to flip them off and you don't know anything that they're going through that day, what happened in their life in that moment, you just mm-hmm. notice that you just want to flip them off, mm-hmm. then why would you do that? And it's about taking time, sit down, have a cup of coffee with yourself and find out what might have been going on with you that day. Mm. It's the same you would do with a partner if they're having a bad day. You would listen to them. Mm. So that's what self-exploration is. It doesn't have to be difficult.
Yeah.
It's a very loving, gentle process. But you do have to be courageous enough to look at the things that maybe you just don't want to look at.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of people who have issues from the past, childhood and so forth, childhood abuse, that really take time to break down and to break through. to really get to a better place. But again, a lot of those issues end up creating issues around substance abuse or alcohol that kind of complicates things even farther.
So. Exactly. And any vice is a cry for help.
Yeah.
You're something that you can't look at, that you need support with, that you need to feel understood and heal, whether that vice is alcohol, drugs, or other ways that you can self-harm, mm-hmm. like sabotaging your life is one way that we do it.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that that is also a vice. It's a way of coping. Mm-hmm. So it's just about being honest with yourself and honest with your partner. I reacted the other day. I'm not sure why I did what I did, but I'm going to take the time to think about it. And sometimes it may be linking it back to the trauma that happened years ago, which mm-hmm. has nothing to do with your partner. Mm-hmm. And then taking the time to say, I really need to look at that because it's affecting my relationship. So you're committed to yourself first and foremost, and then you're committed to the relationship. And when you're committed to a relationship, you're committed in a way that says, I will do what it takes to have a healthy relationship and really mean that and follow through with it. What happens is people say it, and when it comes time to do it, that's when they back out.
So what's the game plan then if you're interested in talking things out and going through that process, but your partner isn't? And I mean, is it just a matter of you have to make that call of, am I going to stay or is this just not for me?
I wouldn't suggest that it's that knee-jerk reaction mm-hmm. For several reasons. What I suggest is that you take time to yourself and just say, I need a few days to think this thing through. It's, you know, I don't want to react in a way that's going to be harmful to you or the relationship. So I need to take time. And then do it. Wherever you need to go, be, journal, write it down. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, this is the place to take your anger out and get petty. Write all the things down that you would have said if you had not stopped yourself from saying it. And then you look at that situation and you connect it to other events in your life and you start noticing, oh, I've done that before. Mm-hmm. What might be going on with that? You want to look at yourself in a loving way. Mm-hmm. This is not about beating ourselves up or thinking we have to be perfect. It's about lovingly saying, oh my goodness, why did I do that? Mm-hmm. You know, what's up with me? And be a friend to yourself. And once you write that down, then you want to write down what you could have done and wished you had done differently in the situation with your partner, because there's always two involved in the situation. Mm-hmm. So what do you think you could have done differently? If you could have handled it better, how would that have been? Take ownership of your share. We always want to make sure that when you go back to your partner that all your fired up feelings have dissipated. And I do have a process that you go through with questions of inquiry to get you to that place. Mm-hmm. And then you want to be curious about your partner. What might they have been going on?
Yeah.
Excuse me. What might have been going on with them that day? Mm-hmm. But then you want to get back with them with that curiosity instead of the blame and all the other things that were starting up in the beginning. And then sometimes it's hard to stop ourselves before we say things we don't mean. But each time you stop, you'll get better and better at it. And you just to go back to your partner and say, I was not my best the other day and I apologize and I'm working on it. I want you to know that I really am looking at this situation. Because being in a conscious relationship is not about being perfect.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's about improving things over time. Right. I mean, it's just about step by step walking each other home and getting to a place where, you know, you don't let those things that have messed with you before interfere with where you're going now. So
exactly. And it's a beautiful dance. It really is.
Yeah.
When you think about it, getting to know someone that well and coming to a place of you both being home, it's just, I get chills thinking about it. It's just so incredibly beautiful. And what I say to people is, the reward that you get from this work is far more rewarding than any difficult time you have to go through to get there. Hmm. It really is worth it.
When you look at things from a spiritual aspect, like what's your view on like soulmates? Like, do you believe in soulmates? Is it like, you know, hoo-ha? Is it, you know, what is your take?
It's one of those topics that everyone has an opinion about it, right? So it's relative to someone's definition of what a soulmate is. Mm. Do I believe they exist? Yes. Do I believe it's the person you're going to spend eternity with? No.
Yeah.
I have had my own experiences where someone came into my life and I thought it was the most incredible, amazing miracle in life, and then ended up badly. What I needed was to learn from that person and move on.
Yeah.
It wasn't that that person was the end of my journey.
He was part of the journey. He was part of the journey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So here's the thing. With soulmates, you have to be careful that you're not reading too much into it, because toxic relationships can feel so much like a soulmate. Mm. And some of the things that you experience are going to intertwine. And so you really have to be, again, conscious about what's going on, why you're in the relationship. And I would say wait till the honeymoon stage is over and start reevaluating the relationship, because when you're hot and heavy, and the brain has chemicals that it sends out when you're with someone that has a matching dysfunction, and mm-hmm. you are going to feel like you just won the lottery. Mm-hmm. And your brain is hijacked. And so it's really hard for you to see that this person might not be healthy for you until some of those brain chemicals fade away. Mm-hmm. So a soulmate can feel like that as well. The brain chemicals are going to be flooding in. So it's really about waiting until some of those brain chemicals fade out, being realistic, having your deal breakers written down, reevaluating the relationship when a few months have passed and in some of that whirlwind attraction has gone. Mm-hmm. Because toxic relationships can feel, wow, it's like heroin. Mm.
So what are some of those elements of toxicity, like, that to be aware of, to be, you know, conscious of as we're in a relationship?
Love at first sight sometimes can be a sign. Now, I'm not saying that love at first sight doesn't exist. I'm saying you can feel like it when you are meeting up with someone that you're going to have a dysfunctional bond with. So you have to be careful with that. It's going to feel like you've known the person your entire life, and you've just got so much connection with this person. And there is just this mania that comes from being on top of the world. So those are the signs that you look for. You also want to pay attention to the fact that you're overlooking things that you had told yourself you would not tolerate anymore.
Yeah.
Like, does this person drink often, and you've had a past relationship with an alcoholic and you swore not to do it again,
yeah.
but you're so high on this person that you're just like kind of overlooking that. And I tell people to take about 3 days in between dates, because after 3 days, that brain chemistry settles down, your high is gone, and then you can look at things a little more realistic. So it's really good to pace these kinds of relationships that you're feeling that uncontrollable attraction to someone.
That's awesome. So how does the element of mixed families fit into the prospects of dating? I mean, somebody has kids, and or both sides typically have, especially when we get older, have kids. And you're trying to create a relationship with somebody, and here are, you know, other forces that are at play in the relationship. You know, how do you incorporate that into a relationship?
People make it harder than it is. And I'm not saying it's easy, but just say you decided to go back to college and you're going to be committed and you have to show up for class and you have homework. So you have children and you want to incorporate it in a relationship. The partner has to be understanding that you have other commitments and understand that those commitments are very important to you. And so it's just about balance. And there's going to be times when your partner's going to feel a little left out. And so you just pay attention to those situations and you spend an extra day with them when you have time. You let them know, I understand that I haven't been able to go out with you in the past 2 weeks. And can we set up a time where we have a 3-day weekend? So it's like anything else in life. You just find time for it and you balance it. But you want to make sure that you're not having unrealistic expectations of the person. And if you're in a relationship with someone is wanting more of your attention than you can give, and they don't understand that you have children or elderly parents or whatever your situation might be that you're blending in, then you want to look at, would you want to stay with someone that doesn't understand that you have other people in your life that you love deeply?
No, that's helpful. That's very helpful. What if you have a situation where, you know, you're on a spiritual path, but, you know, your partner isn't in any sort? I mean, is there a way to have a conscious relationship with somebody who has no spirituality and as such in their life, that they're not interested in kind of that part of a journey?
There is a way if you are committed enough. You know, if spirituality is one of those deal breakers, then that's what it is. But I want people to look at their expectations that their partner should believe everything that they believe. And is that loving?
Yeah, I mean, everybody obviously has their own views, and you know, it's a matter of bridging the gap, but at the same time, it's a matter of how much am I sacrificing of myself for another situation where, you know, for example, my ex-spouse from years ago, you know, we had two kids, we were together. We stayed together because of the kids, but we were clearly growing apart. She had no interest in any sort of spiritual journey at all. And thank God, because I left, I was able to embrace that journey, you know, but I was not able, there was no way I was going to be able to do that, you know, in that relationship. So
it's about knowing yourself. So for you, it was very clear that your love for yourself and your commitment to your spiritual growth needed to move forward, and that it wasn't able to do that in that current situation. And that's being conscious.
At a certain point it just became crystal clear, and you know, it was a choice that I'm not sorry about ever.
And that's what you want to do. You want to respond with that crystal clear knowing. You respond with that. What happens is people back down and say, oh, I can't leave. And then all sorts of things starts happening in response to not honoring yourself, which just means conflict. And I don't know, it could be loss of intimacy or more arguments or whatever is going to show up because of that. And so I'd say if you're crystal clear, you need to move on, then act on that. And you can do it in a loving way.
That's awesome. I mean, that's kind of all I had for you. You knocked it all out of the park, I have to say, in terms of giving valuable advice, but also really keeping the conversation focused. You know, if people want to follow up with you, because it seems to me like in order to do this, it's helpful to have somebody like you to keep both people honest in terms of accountability. You know, mm-hmm. is that kind of the role that you play, you see, in terms of relationship counseling? Or
I do facilitate conscious relationships. So in that journey of facilitating a person, it is to bring them to their deepest truth. Exactly.
Not necessarily together, but each of them independently. And it's like two sides of a triangle, really.
Absolutely. And when you feel like you have to stay with someone, regardless if it's what's going on,
yeah.
Then again, things are going to fester. So you can love someone and want to spend the rest of your life with them and not be attached to it having to be that way. And that's where you give your relationship freedom.
That's awesome. So if people want to reach out to you, how can they reach out to you?
I have a website, consciouslyawakecounseling.com. You can catch me on Facebook at Lisa Hawkins Dating Relationship Coach. I'm on Pinterest and Twitter, pretty much everywhere, Instagram. Mm-hmm. My email is lisa@consciouslyawakecounseling.com.
Very good. Lisa, again, thanks for taking the time to chat today and
you're very welcome.
Giving a lot of help, because I've talked to a lot of people who are in similar situations and, you know, going through this universe of, you know, chaos and trying to still hold things together while we're trying to make each other whole. So I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed it.
Thanks a lot. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.